Hey everybody, we are back with another episode of the Gaming Issue, the show where we bring you all the topics, all the issues, whether they be problems or whether they be the good things within the gaming community. So here with me again today, you guys probably don't remember him. It's been a little while, but hopefully you do. But this is, go ahead and introduce yourself.
David Echevarria, CEO of Village Esports Entertainment, man.
Yes, sir. All righty. So now, since our episode last week, there have been a lot of things coming out into the gaming world. So we're not going to address all the issues, but it's about the end of March, so we've kind of seen our big hit, our big games come out. Our fall is over officially. We've had the spring solstice, so now we're getting to see all these games come and join us for the spring. So for those of you that don't know, a couple of our AAA releases that came out this past month were Monster Hunter Wilds and Assassin's Creed Shadows. Now, I personally haven't played Assassin's Creed Shadows myself, but my buddy here has, and I've seen the reviews, and as you guys know, I'm an avid Ubisoft hater for the now. So no, I haven't touched Assassin's Creed Shadows, but everybody that has played it has had some good things to say, including David.
Yeah, man. No, I mean, listen, it's an exciting time to see a new season of games. But definitely had to, for myself, I didn't try Monster Hunter, but I did try Assassin's Creed. It's actually the first Assassin's Creed game I purchased in a long time, honestly. Like, I can't really remember the last time I actually bought one. But it looked cool. I know they spent the extra time on it. And also, I know that we were talking about it back at Afrotech in the fall. And so I figured, after talking about it, I got to at least give it a chance. And yeah, I mean, I can't say I was disappointed. I'm still in the middle of playing it, making slowly but surely making progress. But I will say the graphics are on point. It's a very fluid game. That's probably, I mean, and I think that's probably the best compliment you can give an Assassin's Creed game is that it's fluid. The movements are good. I will say, like, it's taking some adjusting because I'm used to the old Assassin's Creed games. Black Flag's probably the most recent one I've replayed, but the controls are a little bit different now, of course, but just nothing to do with the actual game itself. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I think the overall story has been developed all right, but I also understand the frustration, the hate that's happening online. But I'm also not sure how many of those folks have actually played the game. It might be more so just reactionary and based on the tabloids and all the things they've heard. So I had to give it at least a try, and overall, I've been pleased.
Good, that's good. Yeah, as you all know, I've the most recent Assassin's Creed game that I've played definitely was Valhalla. I didn't play Mirage, and the reason I kind of stopped at Valhalla was because I feel like I took the soul out of the game. People were requesting longer games, so they made Valhalla tediously long to where they just rehashed the same quest type, which, as an RPG gamer, I hate when games have the same quest type, like go fetch this or go catch that guy over and over again just to draw the game out. There's not really any flair or class to it. But I have seen some of the video work of Assassin's Creed Shadows, especially, getting to create your own basically Shinobi village, so to speak. And they definitely built upon a mechanic added in Valhalla, where you were basically kind of like building your own Viking settlement. And now I like it. I like what they did with that from the videos that I can see. Will I go play the game? I'm not sure yet. I'll probably play it when David is done with it, just to go and give my take on it, because I am currently playing Monster Hunter. I did get Monster Hunter Wilds, and this is kind of they've been releasing a lot of games since Monster Hunter Worlds, which came out way back when. I think it was probably like 2015, maybe 2016. But this game is like another mainline installment into the franchise. Monster Hunter Wilds, it kind of picks up where Monster Hunter Worlds left off. And it's a pretty good game. For those people that kind of like the grind, it is one of those grinding games where you're hitting monsters and you got to keep getting them in order to basically build armor out of their bodies. But I feel like it's definitely a community game. And it's one of those games that lasts as long as the community does. When the community dies, the game dies. But Monster Hunter has always had a very strong community. It's been around for almost 20 years now. I feel like the first Monster Hunter came out in like 2003. So it's definitely a franchise that's going strong, and I hope it continues to go pretty hard, pretty hardcore.
Yeah. So I haven't played Monster Hunter. I don't really know a whole lot about it. I've read and watched the stuff recently, but for those who don't know, what game would you compare it to, or what franchise you think it aligns most to? Like, if you like this game, then you'll like Monster Hunter, kind of thing.
Most definitely, most definitely. Hey, so. But that's crazy that we mentioned those two games because Monster Hunter, I don't know if you guys remember, Monster Hunter had a live action adaptation. And Assassin's Creed did as well. Monster Hunter, man. And I feel like I just watched it on TV back then. Monster Hunter had a live action adaptation, and the cast included names such as T.I. was in there. T.I. was in there. What is that dude's wife's name? I don't even know why I can't remember her name. I should be forgetting his name. Megan Good is in there.
Megan Good's in
Megan
there.
Good. Megan Good is in there. Yeah, Megan Good.
I'm looking at the list right now. Like, what? Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah,
2020.
Megan Good was in there. Ron Perlman, like a bunch of people, like Tony Jaa, he was also in there. Like it had a decent cast. They didn't stay for the whole movie, but they died pretty early in the movie, but still, it had a pretty solid cast. And then, of course, we go into the Assassin's Creed movie because this Monster Hunter movie came out, I don't want to sound crazy, but not too recently in 2020. I'm not sure when the Assassin's Creed movie came out, but I remember.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it right now. I'm just looking at well, also, I mean, let's also eventually talk about the series, the live action series that's supposed to come out, I think, on Netflix. But 2016, it said.
2016. And it, I feel like both of those titles didn't do very well in the box office for live action adaptations. And that's kind of issue that we like to discuss with the live action adaptations. I feel like live action adaptations are always hit or miss, with more so going to the miss side of things. And that's because that some of the things that we can do in these games are so over the top that trying to make it possible for realistic, like real individuals to do these things and make it seem as realistic as possible is just something that isn't even like it's so hard to fathom. Like with Assassin's Creed, yes, you can, yes, they it was very basic because at that point Assassin's Creed hadn't reached to Odyssey yet. Like it hadn't reached to where, because I feel like Odyssey is where things got nuts. Like Odyssey was when they said, okay, we're gonna make this guy a demigod and he's gonna be able to do stuff. And then Valhalla was like, we're just gonna make you an aspect of a god. You're just gonna be part Odin and do whatever you can do that Odin can do. And it was back when Assassin's Creed was cut and dry. We're assassins. So a lot of the things and a lot of the stunts were possible, but of course the technology of Assassin's Creed, when how you make that thing happen and accomplish that through the Animus technology, was something that back then we were like, nah, no way. Nowadays, where we've seen like Neuralink become an actual like thing where we have paralyzed people able to work, relive certain moments, control technology all with their brain. Now it's more possible, right? Now it's something that we can say, okay, how far are we from Animus technology?
I mean, low key, and I think, like you said, it's one of those things where sometimes it feels forced into trying to make it. It's hard to live up to the video game world, right? And I think, and especially in live action, it's so restrictive. I think we saw that a lot, and we've talked about before with the Halo series, and how, especially with, and I'll use Halo as an example, but then we can move on to a different comparison, but. Like I think about Red versus Blue, which was a creator-led, community-led animation of the series that I actually really enjoyed. Even from the beginning days of very rudimentary elementary animation, all the way to the freelancer era with that very high level like movie animation level, and the way that the community was able to really show how they want to view it. And it was more entertaining. Like the fighting scenes, like it was very similar to how anime is, and like the dynamic fighting scenes that were able to happen with between the characters. And again, didn't even follow, again, the like Red versus Blue, didn't even follow the actual storyline of the video game necessarily, but did
Exactly.
have that lore aspect that it was accurate and also was similar enough to where it almost felt like you were playing a video game, but were actually able to watch it in real time. And I think that's what a lot of people wish maybe the Assassin's Creed live action would be like. I know the Minecraft movie is about to come out, which is yet another live action version of the video game world. And well, I've been seeing a lot of the comments, not necessarily on those trailers, but on old Minecraft videos, is like there are so many high level Minecraft animators out there, and you could have put together a dope movie that will probably cost a lot less money too. So you don't have to pay people like Jack Black and Jason Momoa and stuff. But you look at like the old Minecraft music videos that came out, 13, 14 years ago, and that even though as silly as they were, the animation level was pretty cool. And it gives you that whole different world of like being able to create and really just create a storyline that's entertaining and also is good for your community, that your community actually wants and can actually entertain themselves on. Because like even the Minecraft one, like the scene of throwing the water down when they're landing, for one, that isn't really how it works. Like, well, the way they did it isn't really how it works. And like, but you could have done a scene like that that is actually lore accurate if you would just use some of these animators that are in the community. And I'm sure it would also make people happier just to be able to know that it's more of a career option. If you get really good at animating a certain video game or a certain IP, you can potentially work yourself into this whole different world that actually has money in it. So yeah, I think it would be a lot more, there would be a lot more opportunities for people to be more excited if they actually took that route.
And I feel like with Minecraft, because my Minecraft, I feel like I know what they were trying to do, because when Minecraft, we were the kids that Minecraft influenced. That was us, you know. The nowadays 25, 26, 27, 28-year-olds, maybe even older, but we were those kids. So of course now they're thinking, like, remember, we were also those kids that fell in love with Kung Fu Panda. Jack Black was our childhood star. Dude, King Kong, Kung Fu Panda, like we were raised to be infatuated with Jack Black. And of course, Jason Momoa came out years later, as Aquaman. Like he had many roles first, but
And
Aquaman was
WWE.
That was one of his big roles when he finally got into DC, and then we were like, okay, like this is the guy. And ever since then, he's really just been on, mainstream media. But I hate the Minecraft gets me, because I hate when they combine animation and live action. They did that with that movie, where it's like there are some parts that we know are green screen animation, and then we throw in our live action characters, so they always look out of place. Because what happens is that we put them on a green screen, and then we start animating around them. And then we just layer and layer and layer. And eventually it depending on how it's done, if it's not done with a lot of care and a lot of funding, it can become a very terrible end product. And you mentioned the Halo series. Halo live action, and I hate how much hate the show got. I hate it, because Halo, that wasn't the start of Halo live action, right? That wasn't the start of Halo live action. Halo has done live action movies many times over, and the only re the when it got bad was when we started throwing in stars and we started really packing into the show, because of course funding became a thing. But I remember Halo Nightfall, when we were first introduced to Locke. When we were first introduced to, he wasn't Spartan Locke yet, but he was basically some private investigator working with Oni, and we basically got his backstory before we got the game. Because I feel like this, what Nightfall came out before we got, what was it? What Halo was it, where we had to go find the Master Chief and we were the other team? And
Oh, you don't have four
Halo 4, yeah. So
or
we got
five? Five
five.
is Guardian. Five was a, yeah, it might have been Halo 5, I think.
Yeah, I think yeah, Halo 5 Guardians, where we were hunting down the Master Chief.
Yeah, that was five, yeah.
Yeah, so we got introduced. Halo Nightfall came out before that, and then we were able to get introduced to Locke when he was an Oni agent. And then they took the same actor and said, "Hey, guess what? We're gonna animate you into the game. Like, this is gonna be you now." And it's the same guy that plays Luke Cage in the Netflix or now
Yeah.
Disney Plus series. But we had to. They were already making Halo games or Halo movies, but then we got more in depth with the TV show. We said, okay, we're gonna do something that Master Chief never does, because even in the film and anime adaptations, they maintained it that Master Chief never takes off his helmet.
Yeah,
Man.
which is where they fucked up. Like that's their biggest fuck up. Like I think everyone will be. I know a lot of old Halo fans that were immediately turned off the second they even saw Master Chief without his helmet on. Like it would have made sense maybe first episode, quick flashback to see, some of the lore aspect, but the fact that he had his helmet off so much turned
Yeah.
people off.
Because we had only ever seen him as a child. So it became like when we finally were like, okay, we are used to this. We're used to the childhood flashbacks. We're used to seeing what he looked like as a kid. But then it was like, okay, dude, like throughout the show, it was like helmet is always off. I was like, dude, like he never took this much, even when he was in the confines of a base or UNSC installation. The helmet was always on. He never felt safe enough to take the helmet off. So, but I get it. They were trying to add personality to a character who, as we played in video games, has always, I mean, he's had personality, but he's never had that humanity aspect. Never, ever. And people are gonna hate me for saying this when they watch this episode. Never have I ever seen Master Chief as human, right? Like I know he's a byproduct of humanity, but in the games, they never really portray too much humanity. Like he's a Spartan. He's always to the next mission. There was never a like every time a game starts, Master Chief is always in a different, like, volatile situation where it's like, dude, like the last one, Infinite, the game started with us getting beat down. It's like, like we were floating in space for what, 3 months, 6 months? Like,
Well, and well, I'd be curious to know like what are your thoughts on like a Sonic, right? Like the new movies that have been coming out that is a mix between live action and animation. But people seem to like it a lot more. I've watched a couple of them, but I don't know them by heart. But what were your thoughts around that?
So for the Sonic games, I kind of feel as though, or Sonic movies, my bad. For the Sonic movies, it's something that, well, if you've seen the first two, the first and the second one are drastically different. They completely had to change the style of what they were doing. And if you've seen the early cuts, he was supposed to look more animated than actually like physical, like actually like a plush doll is what he looks like right now. But he was supposed to look more animated, and then they went back and reworked it. Like the original trailer had a very much more animated Sonic than like it always does that. Like with the and then the third one, the one now where we see Shadow. If you see the original trailers, they look way more animated. But I feel like the Sonic show kind of found a good middle ground, because for a live action slash animation, it's had a long run. It's been three titles, and each title has done decent numbers, has done very decent numbers. I mean, if the first one didn't, shit the bed, we wouldn't have a second one. If the second one shit the bed, we wouldn't have gotten a third. And it, and honest to God, we wouldn't have gotten Keanu Reeves. I like it's Keanu Reeves, of course, an actor at a point in his career where now he's just doing this for fun. If he likes the concept, he's like, game on. Like, we're seeing him in so many different things. Like, oh yeah, I want to be in that video game, or I want to be in this, or I want to be in that. Or where it's like he's a very established actor, so it's like, oh, okay, like, hey Keanu, do you wanna come give this a go? Sure, why not? I like it. And It was something we mentioned earlier in one of our other podcasts where him and Idris Elba had talked about why they were doing the cyberpunk. And then Keanu Reeves hopped on first, but Idris Elba was like, when I talked to Keanu about it, he was like, I mean, I thought it was a fun concept. And Idris was like, yeah, I thought it was pretty fun too. Like, that's why I hopped on it. And it because you build things with longevity and then you're going to get good things out of it. So I feel like Sonic is just one of those that I actually like. A live action concept that I feel like kind of, I don't know, man. Like, you're going to hate me for this, but maybe, I don't know, you might not. Witcher.
Oh, Witcher.
Witcher. Yeah, The Witcher.
Yeah.
It was, I'd say, for me, it's probably like I give it like a 50%. I half liked it, half didn't. And I get it, like one, it's nothing on I can't rem on Henry Cavill. I feel like Henry Cavill played his part, right? Henry Cavill really played his part. Don't get me wrong. Henry Cavill came in there, and if anybody was gonna be Geralt of Rivia, it was Henry Cavill. It was Henry Cavill. And the series isn't over yet, but of course they've recast the person. And honestly, I can't remember his name right now, but I don't think he's gonna fit the role very well because there's one thing that Henry Cavill has that allows him to play roles of these fictional characters, especially when we have these fictional like RPG leads. Same with the guy that plays the Halo character, is size. You have to be a
You
big
gotta be
dude
big, bro. You
to
gotta be
play some of
big.
these protagonists, because in the games, they're
Massive.
conceptualized like I know you're not gonna like we're not making people that are gonna be as tall as Spartans because they're 7 foot without the armor on, but he fills out the mass where it's like, okay, yeah, now you'd be able to, like, I mean, minus the steel bones that make you, or titanium metal alloy covering your bones that make you twice, three times as heavier maybe than a standard human, you still fit the bill. And Henry Cavill can play those roles. Just like they're making the live adaptation of Warhammer. We played Warhammer Space Marine, me and you. Those guys are huge.
Massive. I think the only person that's been able to pull off like a care a protagonist that was still a badass, but he isn't as big as like a Pedro Pascal with
Oh yeah.
Mandalorian. Like
Oh
I feel like
yeah.
that's the only one, and even then it's because the Mandalorian isn't known for being, 7 foot massive, a lot bigger than everyone else, but still I think that that's the only success story or, an example of, someone not being as big and being able to still have that presence. And it's because, again, I think though too is part of the fact that we weren't able to see his face for so long. And so built that mystification around the character that made him seem grander than he actually was in some ways. So I do think that's an interesting, thing where there's only so many guys who can play these characters, at least that are in the current, Hollywood ecosystem.
And he's
But
done
I
it
do think,
twice. Last of Us. Last of Us. He played his role like flawlessly in Last of Us. Like that is another live action success story where Last of Us, it going on
Yeah,
like,
probably one of the best ones, yeah.
yeah, probably one of the best ones, getting gearing up for his third season, where it's like, wow, like,
Yeah.
dude, like you
Well,
can.
and there's so many people now that I know, like my parents, for example, like they watched The Last of Us show, had no idea it was a video game. And I think that is also an interesting take, like certain IPs that can be framed as such. I know for me, and again, this sounds bad because, of whatever, but Tomb Raider, when I was a kid, I mean, I wasn't old enough to play Tomb Raider when I was, 4 or 5 years old, but I did watch one of the movies when I was young, and I didn't realize it was a video game until later on. And again, a live action where the IP was strong enough to be able to hold its own without the video game, and had the storyline and, had the entertainment factor. So yeah, I think it's interesting to see how some of these studios and some of these developers and publishers navigate the space of like how they make sure these video game worlds are able to translate. And it'll be interesting to see if they continue down this road of making everything into live action, or I mean, because anime is obviously a very popular genre, and animated movies aren't as popular anymore, or at least aren't being developed as much anymore. And it'll be also be interesting with AI and how that's integrated, even though we know that a lot, especially the video game community, does not like AI. But it'll be interesting to see how they continue to navigate it all.
And I feel like anime, so the problem is that animation is another one, Fallout. The Fallout series
Fallout was good. I like that
did a
one.
great job, and of course they tackled it because they added their own original protagonists and their own original antagonists, where yes, they introduced some familiar faces like Robert House. They introduced them, they finally gave them like, oh, here's, this is gonna be your appearance in the show. But it was an it was they created an original story. Like, they just said, okay, we're gonna tack this onto the timeline, and this is gonna be current time, where now we have original characters that just fit the show. And of course, the people that portrayed it, the actor that portrayed Lucy did a great job. And then David Goggins for the ghoul, great job, great job. And then he came out, and said, I had never played a Fallout game before, but when they had told me that the role that I would be playing was somebody who was like a cowboy ghoul, he said, I know Westerns. And David Goggins has been in a lot of big
He's
time
very
Westerns.
familiar with
Yes, he's been in Hateful
it.
Eight. He's been in many different Western titles. So he was like, I can do this. And then he ended up becoming the most popular character from the series. Like, the most popular character of the series, where everybody's like, okay, that's the guy. And back to what I was saying, the issue with animation versus live action is that live action is only as expensive as the actors that you hire. Whatever that actor's buying price is, and every actor has one, that is going to become one of the core expenses, outside of production, of course, that is going to make or break this installment or this title. With animation just is expensive across the board and very time consuming. It's more time on the animators just to get things done. I mean, of course, your cousin is an animator. It takes a lot of time. And that's why we wait so long for animes. Like, they're like, we will get many movies before we get seasons of anime, if like actual like Japanese, considered anime, because it takes so long. And not only are we script are they voice recording, scripting, voice acting, animating, figuring out different roles, doing
A lot of
scenes,
different folks you gotta
a lot of different folks you gotta
pay.
pay. And a lot less time because we're expecting this in seasons. So we're like, all right, guys, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Like, for one of, like, I've been waiting 3 years for some animes to come back. There's an anime I like called Fire Force that is now finally coming back after a 3 year hiatus in April.
Oh, it's
That
coming back. I didn't know that.
I mean, look how long it took for Attack on Titan to finish. Right?
AOT, man.
Attack on Titan almost took 10 years to get the full story. 10 years. And every time we ask them, why are you taking so long? It's the animation. Then I feel like that's why people won't go that route, because yeah, you're recording, but most of these live action, you're recording for about a year. Like, okay, yeah, we did about a year of shooting. And but for these animations, it's like, dude, like we didn't get the script done for the season. It took us 6 months to get the script done.
Well, and I think there's it's interesting because it's like I do agree, and I do think there's certain. I think this goes into what. Sorry, this is, it also goes into what you were saying too, which is one, shows like Fallout where they're able to create their own original storyline and characters, like gives them more flexibility, and they're also not having to compete with that known storyline, and they have then creative expression and ability to go outside the lines a little bit. And as far as animation, like you have to know it's going to produce a certain amount of dollars in the box office. And I think an example would be the Mario movie, which was extremely successful. Of course, it is Mario. It's a, the most popular video game character ever, and has been across many generations. But if there were characters that you'd be able to compare it to, Master Chief, I mean, look. BR Gaming just did a whole tournament bracket of best video game characters, and it was Master Chief and Mario. And I think that is pretty consistent across the board of like most popular, but then also just like the
Awesome.
statue of just how big they are in the community. And obviously for different reasons, I think Mario is more of nostalgia, and also just the fact that Mario's been able to be utilized in so many different ways and is popular and just is cute or whatever the hell people compare him
And
to.
even then, like every game, every big game corporation has their mascot. Nintendo's chosen mascot is Mario. Xbox's
Exactly.
chosen mascot is Master
Yeah. I
Chief.
mean, and
I
I
don't know. I
think,
forget what PlayStation's is, but I think it's Kratos. I
yeah,
think
it's
it's Kate.
Kratos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And so, but that's the thing, right? Like, and so one, it's hard to create a live action about a character that's bigger than the series itself. Like, more people are familiar with Master Chief or Mario than they are with actual video games, like the actual storyline, the actual lore of the content. And so doing a live action of those, I think is risky. Now, if you're able, I think a lot of Halo fans would have been happy and fine if they did a different storyline within the Halo universe, right? Similarly, Mario, like they were able to do the animation of Mario, and people like seeing Mario. They don't want to see something that isn't actually the character. Like doing a live action Mario, if they had Chris Pratt in fucking in a jumper and everything, like people would not have been happy because that's not Mario. And so I think that's part of it. And the live action Assassin's Creed, people want to see Ezio. People want to see like the those characters that they know. And so I think that's part of the navigating of it all, is like having that sense of, is the character too big for one? And usually if the character's too big, that means the world is big enough to create a different storyline. And I think that's where people are starting to figure out, and I think we've seen that in Star Wars universe. You know, they're starting to create these new storylines and touch on, you know, the books and the comics of different things, whether it's Marvel or Star Wars or whatever. Because sometimes the characters are just too big to try and really do. And even with the Minecraft, like Steve, again, people are expecting Steve. They're not
Steve,
expecting Jack Black
Jack
with the
Black.
beard and, you know, like a grown ass man. They're looking for Steve. So that's where the, if it would have been animated Steve with someone else, maybe, but like, it's hard to recreate those characters that are really well known, because Steve is the new Mario, honestly. Like, in my opinion, like that's not the new Mario to say he's replacing, but that is what a lot of kids grew up seeing for their game, one of their first games that they played, and like the character they saw, the default character. That's what we saw growing up. That's what, you know, a lot of people our age and younger are used to seeing. And not to say the Minecraft movie's gonna flop, because I think they have a big enough names for it to work and kids still love the game. But I think that's where the disappointment happens, is when the characters are too big and you try to remake them in real life. And so, yeah, I don't know. I
And
just thought that was an interesting draw.
I feel like we also see that issue. I feel like we also see that issue in Marvel. And they're dealing with it with problems right now where the actors of the characters have become so big and so synonymous with who they play. For example, Iron Man and Robert Downey Jr., where it's like now we can't separate after 20 years. We cannot, and now, of course, Robert Downey Jr. is in his 60s. You know, if you've seen him showing his real age, if you watch the Oppenheimer movie, you've seen him showing his real age. And you could barely recognize that that was your Iron Man. But he was playing a role that actually exercises his age, like how old he is. And that becomes a problem. Where, of course, when we do these live action video game adaptations, I don't want it to become a thing where our actor now becomes not because these actors are getting old, and a lot of these Marvel actors have said it themselves. You know, they released the Avengers Doomsday cast today. Released that today. If you guys are watching, we're recording this on 03/26/2025, and they released the Avengers Doomsday cast. And we couldn't see Robert Downey Jr. outside of Marvel, so all we did was just recast him as Dr. Doom. But also, now we're also seeing that, okay, Chris Hemsworth, has also been Thor for nearly 20 years now, where these people are getting within an age where it's hard to play those roles, especially a role like Thor, where now Chris Hemsworth is going to have to continuously try to maintain that peak physical condition. And I mean, we all grew up watching Dave Bautista, right? WWE Dave Bautista. He said it himself. He said, "I can't play Drax the Destroyer anymore because it's very hard for me, and like in my late 50s, to maintain this size." He had to tell people. He said, "I am 50 years old now. You have to think about the stress on my heart to maintain this frame." Because when we see him between the roles, he's very much smaller. But then he says, then they call me up and say, "I got to pack on the pounds again."
No, and it's not fair to some of these actors too. I mean, they're getting paid a lot, but still, like, it is unreasonable expectation. And like you said, like, well, even like some of these characters, right? Like a Thor, like a lot of these characters don't age in their lore,
In
right?
their lore, yeah.
And so it's again, it's a conflicting storyline in some ways, and also just visually, it's conflicting to some people. When they see, how do you age out a character when that character doesn't age?
When it doesn't age.
So yeah.
Right. But and moving on, we're also seeing problems in the reverse aspect, where we turn movies or TV shows into games. Recently, Ubisoft provided us with Avatar: Frontiers of Pandora, and middle ground, decent reviews. But Pandora, like av the Avatar movie series, was already something that was groundbreaking. When the first Avatar released, I remember that being like one of the first big 3D movies. And this is gonna sound shitty. This is gonna fuck you up. We were kind of like born and children during like the advent or like major push of 3D movie watching.
Yeah, I didn't ever watch a whole lot of 3D movies because my dad would get sick watching 3D movies. But that's the thing, like it wasn't around before us really, to be honest.
No. And it aged out quick. Like you can still watch movies in 3D and they're better than they were back then. But yeah, like I remember then it was something where it was like hit or miss, and I remember like some of my teachers in like elementary and middle school saying, "I just can't watch those. Like those give me a headache." And
Yep, exactly.
to me, I was like, "Dude, this is awesome!" Like, but 3D movies were like a thing that we were like, "Whoa!" Like with Avatar, it was a big push. I remember when the trailers came out, they were like, "You have to see it in 3D. This movie is made to be watched in 3D," and James Cameron himself came out and said, "If you're not watching Avatar in 3D, you're discrediting the work." But they were doing stuff with Avatar, like in the newest one, the latest one, where they were like 80% of the movie was shot underwater. What? Like, what? And this is a series that has taken so long, like where they set up a 30-year plan before we get to see all the Avatars. First one came out in 2006. We didn't get the second one to what, 2 years ago? And it's like, dude, like, okay, the third one's coming out maybe 2026, I believe, December 2026. And it's a long plan where James Cameron himself has to be in his 70s, where I'm like, dude, did you even make sure you're gonna like see the end of this?
Survived.
Survive to the end of this? But when they try to make big things like that, big movies like that, into games, we see that there's always a hard part when it comes to transitioning. There are games and TV shows, right? Right? TV shows and games. Okay. There's like, for one, Pokemon is always going to have a series release with whatever game is going out right now. Or the game is gonna follow where we're at in the series. Because I've watched series where we haven't got the Pokemons yet in the series that are
In the
in the
game,
games. Like the series is ahead of the game. So that always becomes like a weird transition where it's like, okay, the timeline, we gotta find some way to match timelines or match stories. And Avatar Frontiers of Pandora couldn't match it, so they just put us in like a time period where it's like in the in between or where they then they give it throw us that one curveball where it's like it's in an alternate universe, but it's
Yeah.
in universe, and I hate seeing
No,
that.
it's hard for it's hard for that to translate. And I remember playing the first Avatar video game, 'cause the first one came out. Let me look exactly when it came out. Video game first. The first one came out in 2009 too. And I rented it, and actually it was, I enjoyed it a lot, 'cause they had like had games within the game. It had like a Risk kind of game, strategy and all that kind of stuff. And honestly, it was a good game overall, but it didn't try to do too much. It didn't try to create a new world. It didn't, follow very much the timeline and everything of a normal game, or the movie. And like you said, I mean, Pokemon, I think, has done the best job of balancing it all, of being able to do the movies animated, being able to do the TV shows that follow along with the lore of the video games, and while also having games where you don't need to have watched the show, and it has its own lore of itself where it actually keeps you engaged, because you don't want you want people to be able to intake all kinds of media, right? That you want them to be able to play the game, then watch the show, then watch the movie when it comes out, and not feel like it's the same story over and over again. And now, of course, as we said with Mario, like, Pokemon is one of the largest entities and largest IPs that is out there, period. And it's a global phenomenon, and they have the stores in person and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, but you saw them try to do the Detective Pikachu movie, and that even with all of their power and might, they weren't able to make that the success that they wanted the first live action Pokemon movie to be. At that scale, at least, in the box office. So yeah, I think it's an interesting take. And with all these different, I think we've talked about before, I think they're going to continue to do more and more of these, and folks are going to eventually figure it out one by one, how to find the balance between it all. And yeah, I think it'll end up being good for everyone, including our community here at Village.
And with that, we'll leave you guys with some options for if you guys want to go, watch a video game adaptation or a movie adaptation of a video game. Of course, TV show series. We'll leave you with some recommendations. As of course, we stated the Fallout series. Please go ahead and give that a watch. I actually ran into somebody yesterday that had never seen the Fallout series, and he plays the Fallout games. And I was like, "Wait, what?" He was like, "I'm a huge fan of the Fallout games." And I was like, "But you never played the Fallout series or watched the Fallout series?" So definitely give that a watch. Another one for me would definitely be Last of Us, on HBO. Of course, there are many things that I'd say. Give a try because everybody has different tastes. The Detective Pikachu would definitely be one of those. Everybody has different tastes. The Mario movie. You guys also go ahead and check out. This is going to be an old one, but the Angry Birds movie when it came out was actually pretty good to me. The old Angry Birds movie. And there's a few TV shows out there for my Resident Evil fans and movies. Go give those a go. A lot of the adaptations lately with Resident Evil have been struggling. But as Resident Evil is going to be something that's going to be around for a very long time, and a lot of them can be hit or miss, but I feel like a good bit of them are good.
No, I mean, my recommendation is going to be more on the indie side, Red versus Blue. If you haven't watched it, I like the freelance Project Freelancer. I mean, I like all of them. If you have the time to watch all 15 seasons and sit from episode one all the way through, do that. But if you want to see some good action, and animated, community animated at work from Rooster Teeth, I think season 9 is when Project Freelancer begins. And so I always enjoy watching that, especially if you like fighting scenes, and good lore. Red versus Blue, highly recommend, especially if you're a Halo fan. If you're a Halo fan and haven't watched Red versus Blue, absolutely watch it from season one. But yeah, it's a good time.
And to conclude, once again, everybody, I'm Tay and this is David. If you guys have been staying tuned to Village since day one, we'd just like to go ahead and extend our appreciation. Again, we do this for the community. And we wouldn't have Village if it wasn't for you guys. Be watching out, okay? Like, there's a lot of things in the works right now that we're cooking up over at Village. And I know it seems like I know it seems like we've been a little quieter lately, but it's because we're cooking up a lot of things as we prepare to, give the community something different. And we can't disclose all the details right now, but we're definitely working on something. And if you guys, right now we started a creator collective, as you guys, as we mentioned in the last podcast. And you guys are going to start seeing more people pop up with that village tag. And of course, go watch their content as you see them, like, subscribe, share, and give them as much attention as you would give us. And go follow all the channels, right? Like, this podcast premieres primarily on the YouTube, but definitely check out the Instagram. Definitely check out the TikTok. Check us out. Okay? Check us out. Leave a like, leave a comment, subscribe. If we say something that you guys don't like, say something. If we say something that you love, say something. If you it, anything you can say, we want to hear it. All right? You got anything for him, David?
No, yeah, just like you said, a lot of good things coming. We're really trying to give folks an opportunity to not only build yourselves up as creators and along with us, but really trying to level up the opportunities in the community even outside of just content creation, and really creating that community in person. And so, for folks in the United States specifically, but any cities that you're in, make sure to let us know if you want us to be able to partner with you locally. Please let us know. We're just trying to really build out that network, and we're really excited about the partners that have really committed themselves to do that. So yeah, just feel free to reach out. Our email is always open, contact@villageesports.com. Please feel free to send over any partnership proposals, any ideas, any requests you have of us. And yeah, just continuing to thank you all for your support.
All right. Hey, you all have a good day.
All right.